North Rock Podcast.
The first purpose of my life is to be loved by God. Now, the Bible tells us that God is love, that God doesn't have love, God doesn't just show love, God is love. The Bible says that everything in the universe was created so God could love it. God has never made anything he doesn't love. He loves every rock, every tree, every plant, every animal, every human being. God has never made anything he doesn't love. So if you're alive, it means God loves you. What I'm saying to you, this is so fundamental, is that the number one calling in your life is not to a role, it's not to a responsibility, it's not to a bunch of rules, it's not to regulations, it's not to ritual, it's not to religion, it's to a relationship. Now, let that sink in a little bit. The first purpose of your life is not to serve God. The first purpose of your life is not to trust God. The first purpose of your life is not to obey God. The first purpose of your life is not even to love God. No, no. The first purpose of your life is to let God love you.
We had a candle in our house. Anita bought, or it was given to her or something, I don't know. It was in a little tin, ornately decorated, of course, beautiful colors. And it had these words on it. Love is the essence of our being. And I'd see that several times a day. I'd look at it and I'd shake my head and I'd say, she's gone to the dark side. She's a new ager. You know what the truth is? She was light years ahead of her husband in understanding the love of God and what the Christian faith really is. You see, it's like Rick Warren said on that video. God created this universe to be loved. He created it to love it. And out of that love that he has for us comes this love that we can have for each other. He has brought us into a relationship of love so that we can have relationships of love. So the main purpose in my life is to so arrange my life that I understand how to let God love me. There are other purposes in my life, but that's the first purpose. How do I arrange my life in such a way as to let God love me? So that out of the love he has for me, I can love others the way he loves. And I can actively participate in his love, loving him and loving what he loves right here, right now, in the fellowship of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We were created to be loved. We were created to love, to let God love us, and then to love the entire creation the way he loves it. This love includes a love for mankind, for all of humanity. Because love is the essence of your being. I have this question for you, rhetorical. Okay, no one shout out or anything. None of that stuff, okay? Did you know that one of the words translated love in the New Testament is also translated friend? Philos. loving friend or friend love. Philadelphia means the city of brotherly love. It was founded by a Quaker. It could be translated the city of friends who know how to love each other. Philos. It's a word Jesus used for love and friendship. As we look in the Gospels, Jesus puts a face on his love for others, for his followers, by calling them friends. Let's look at this. Look at John 15, verse 9. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. Live in my love. Make love the center of your life. It's like he's saying, I have so arranged my life, I have arranged it in such a way that I'm letting the Father love me. So then in turn, I have actively loved you. Now I want you guys to do the same thing. Now let's look at this. He says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And he doesn't say this, but it's all over the scriptures, because the essence of your being is love. Now watch. He says, no longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. You're not my employees anymore. You're not my ministry staff anymore. I stopped calling you that a long time ago. I started calling you my friends. He says, but I have called you friends, for all the things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. He said, the deepest things in my life, I've shared with you. That was his relationship with the Father. And I've shared that with you and made you my philos, my love friends. Throughout the Bible, and especially in this verse, frequently the face of love, what love really looks like, is uninhibited, unconditional friendship. Just being friends. I want to look closer at a dynamic that was going on in the 12 with Jesus. Take this in, Matthew 5. You have heard it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. What's he saying? Treat them like friends, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. A son was like his father. That's what that terminology means. That's what they heard when he said that. Oh, you want me to look like my father? For he makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good, and he sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? No. Okay, get this. Matthew's there. You know? Levi, the tax collector, one of his followers. Just, do not the tax collectors do the same? And it's like Matthew's going, Jesus, I hear you. I'm here. And if you greet your brother only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Jesus, stop it. Therefore, you shall be perfect. You shall be complete. You shall be who you are, as your Father in heaven is complete, perfect, So there's Matthew, the tax collector, also called Levi, a traitor to Israel. Scum of the earth, hated by every respectable Jew, outsider, the real enemy of Israel. He's listening. And he's a follower of Jesus. He's a Christ follower, just like you are. He's even in the inner circle. He's one of the 12. There he is, despicable. Do you think it's a coincidence that he talks about tax collectors in front of Matthew? You think it's a coincidence he says, you know, there are enemies. There are those who will persecute you. Those who will spitefully use you. Love them like a friend. Love them like I've loved you. I've called you my friend. And love them equally. You know, Matthew, how you've always been an equal opportunity guy. You know, you cheated everyone equally. Now I want you to love everyone equally. Especially Simon the Zealot. You know, Simon? The guy that is like the super patriot of Israel. Simon the Zealot. The guy who is like the hater, the greatest hater of tax collectors. So there's Simon, Christ follower, one of the 12. A militant extremist Zionist, an over-the-top patriot for Israel, and super hater of tax collectors. Matthew and Simon are polar opposites. And Jesus put them together on a team. They walk together. They talk together. They eat meals together. They sleep under the same roof together. They follow Jesus together. And guess what? Tax collectors are no longer just a group of people to hate. A tax collector has a face, and his name is Matthew. And he becomes Simon's brother. We need to get this. Zealots are not just a group of super patriots anymore. They have a face. It's the face of Simon. Simon becomes Matthew's brother. It's like Jesus was saying, Simon, I'm putting you two together. Because you guys need to get to know each other. And there needs to be a human experience with these people you hate. Matthew is same for you. Because if you're my followers, there are no haters. And there's no one to hate. To follow Jesus, Simon had to walk miles with Matthew. And Matthew had to walk miles with Simon. Following Jesus meant their capacity to express love was going. Following Jesus means your capacity to express love is going to be stretched. Amen. God wants your expressions of love to stretch into the size of his love. As I have loved you, love one another. Fear and hatred are overcome in friendship. Fear and hatred are overcome in friendship. Philos, love. It's an expression of the love of God who is your very life. He is the essence of your being, and he is love. And that's why that statement is so true. That the essence of your being is love because God is your very life. Be willing. Just open your life to what he wants. And if you're not willing, tell him you want to be willing. Do you get it if I tell you that's his responsibility to make you willing? For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to do his good pleasure. And he's happy to do it. because it's who you really are. And life gets so confused when we act like who we're not. But when we act like who we really are and live in the power of His Spirit and in His love, life's amazing. It's a wonderful adventure. When you submit to that kind of life, watch the opportunities open up for love. Not by you trying to open them up, but because that's what He'll do. And friendships will have His fingerprints all over it. Now, I want to give some illustrations out of my life of this truth. And I'm going to tell you some things about me that I know maybe one or two in here know about me. I was raised in the South. I was a segregationist. Praise God. And I sang Dixie. My great-grandparents were slave owners. And I was a segregationist, not by choice, but by culture. I grew up in that culture. I thought that's just how life was. And I look back, I would call myself a cultural racist. The blacks had their neighborhood and the whites had theirs. The school systems were segregated. I had no black friends. When Anita and I graduated from John Brown, we moved to Chicago. Oh my gosh. Talk about culture shock. From Arkansas to Chicago in the late 60s. And I took a job because I was working my way through seminary. And I met Jim. Jim Mims is a black man. The age of my father, I never had a black friend. He was awesome. He told me stories of some of the injustices he and his family suffered. And one story that broke my heart. Jim was in the D-Day invasion. He helped liberate France. He helped take Germany for my freedom when he came home. He's in Washington, D.C. in his uniform. And he goes into a restaurant and buys a sandwich. And he's told to go out on the curb and eat it. Whites only. No blacks allowed. This was Christian America. A few years ago, I wrote this for Jim. For Jim, the man who changed my life. The man who now put a face on the civil rights movement that I resisted. The man who put a face and humanized the black community for me. Jim. I see him there, dressed in khakis, and pressed and crisp, sitting at the curb, lunch in hand, with thoughts of Normandy still fresh, man of sacrifice routinely in harm's way, preserving liberty, storming beaches, capturing hillsides, witness to courage as comrades fall, braving elements, cold, wind, rain, a canvas house, a bed of mud, man of sacrifice routinely in harm's way, preserving my liberty. I see him there, khakis pressed and crisp, buying lunch but told to leave. Go outside to eat. Only whites allowed. At the curb, lunch in hand, with thoughts of Normandy still fresh, I see him there through my tears of shame. Disturbed in unbelief, man of sacrifice routinely told to leave, denied his liberty. It wasn't something I was asking God to do. I didn't say, God, I want to connect to the black community. He just did it. because he knows I'm a follower of Jesus. He knows that love is the essence of my being. He wants to stretch the capacity of my love to actively love others into the size of his own love for people. So he does it. Because I am living in his love, and he is my very life. Well, Jim was just the beginning. This will make you laugh a little bit. Okay, let's lighten things up a little. Okay. Early on in my Christian experience, in my walk with Jesus, which is like 51 years now, charismatics really scared me. I mean, you know, these people that clap while you're singing in church, and they raise their hands, you know, and I hear they speak in tongues. What is that? In my early teaching, that was looked at like maybe that's the devil. And this couple, Joe and Sandy Kuka, came into our lives at a Baptist camp. Get that. What are charismatics doing there? And they loved us. I've never had love like that outside of my family. And the charismatic movement had a face now. It had people. It was humanized right before me. And I thought, these people aren't crazy. They're loving. Changed my whole view. Friendship destroys hatred and fear. They became our best friends for almost 35 years. Joe passed away 5 years ago. Broke my heart. I could go on and on and on about heart changes God's made in this man. Gay and lesbian community 2.5 years ago. Well, it started right here with a young lady just asking me questions about, you know, why aren't they included? Why aren't they around? What's going on? And then another different young lady spoke at a conference, Foursquare conference. And God turned my heart. I didn't ask him to. He just did it. And then Sandy Kuka and Anita and I are on a hike. And this beautiful young 28-year-old shows up on the hike with us and wants to hike with us. And I'm going, what is this? She wants to hang out with these old people. And she invites us into her life, and we invite her into our life. And then later she tells us she's gay. And my heart was already turned. And the opportunity for my love to get stretched more into a God-looking love was there, wasn't it? She's like family. She'll even go fishing with me. How's that for love? Huh, Jason? Huh? Huh? Daryl? Patience, yeah. A friend of mine I've known over 50 years came out to me the other day. And his family, his grown children, it was like throwing a grenade into their lives, in my life. But I love him. The essence of my being is love. And I won't turn him away. I love those two like they're my own family. Because they are. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, Do good to those that hate you and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons, that you may look like your Father in heaven. We are Christ followers. How is he doing this with you? You know he is. Can you see it? He's doing it. Because the essence of your being is love. I encourage you to look for those opportunities because they're there. They may be right here in this room. Look for those opportunities to love, to befriend. It'll change your life. Now, this too might be a little funny, okay? So we'll lighten up a little bit. When we first started coming to Grace Church back then in the day, 16 years ago, it was this tall guy. The tall guy, come on up. There was this tall guy. See how tall he is? See how austere he is? See how quiet he is? See how different from me he is? I'm short. I'm ordinary. And I'm certainly not quiet. And I stayed away from him. I had fear. Yeah, you were intimidating to me. You didn't try. No, you didn't do that. It was just me. That's another thing about me, is strangers scare me. And so that greeting out there is God. Okay? But one of the reasons I do it is because I love you guys. I love the hugs I get. And I just love because you become my friends. But God spoke to my heart, and he said, I want you to get to know this guy. And I go, that's not God. And I checked with Chad, and I checked with Sam, and they said, it's God. So we have a number of things in common, but one of them is coffee. Okay? That's the truth. So I filled a thermos of coffee, and I went to his shop, and we sat and talked. That's another thing. See, I'm the emotional one. Look at the austere one over here. You know what friendship is like. Is there anything you want to share with us about friendship?
I do, actually. As you were sharing, I was sitting here thinking about when I, before I retired, I had a guy that worked for me as a plant mechanic. He was an older guy, not as old as me, but, you know, old. He was really good at his job, but he was the quintessential loner. In fact, almost like hermit. So the most difficult thing I had with him as an employee was trying to get him to mentor younger operators, getting him to pass all the knowledge that he had on to other people, because he didn't really want any relationships. In fact, he made the comment to me one day when I was harping on him about this, and I never really succeeded in getting him to overcome that, but I sure tried. He commented to me once when I was talking to him about it. He said, you know, some days I can't even stand my own company. And so that was a problem. But, you know, I could kind of identify with that. Because on my own, I like being alone. Equal opportunity. If you're going to open yourself up. Anyway, I can identify with being alone. I like solitude. My idea of a great day is being by myself, hiking, doing something like that, you know. And I know some of you can identify with that, that you have that natural bent to solitude. Tom was talking about that relationship with Jesus where he started to open up to his disciples the deepest things of his heart. But that kind of relationship always begins with someone somewhere taking a step toward another person. And Tom took that kind of step toward me. And it was as easy as showing up with a thermos of coffee. But the point is that I have to be deliberate about making friends. And I have some friends that know my heart and that I feel safe with, because that's been developed. But it begins with a step toward that person. And a really wise man told me once that you should move toward people that move toward you. That we should be sensitive in our lives when someone takes a step toward us, that we need to take a step toward them. And start developing those kind of friendships. Because I know there are people here that can sit in a room like this and not have a single person that really knows them. They have acquaintances. But if there isn't anyone in your life, and I'm going to go here because I feel like I should. I talked to a counselor once, and I was, you know, he was doing his counseling thing, and he told me to draw circles. Some of you may have done this at some time or another. First, he has you draw a real big circle, and you put the names of everyone that you know, acquaintances, people at work, just people that you know. He says, okay, now I want you to draw a smaller circle, and put the people in there that you feel like you know pretty well. That you may call them friends or whatever. So I did that. And he said, now I want you to draw a little circle in the middle. And I want you to put the names of the people in there that really know you. And I couldn't think of anyone. That's a problem. So we have a great friendship. We learn from each other. We enjoy each other. We laugh at each other because there are a lot of ways we're not at all alike. But I think we wanted to end this with a prayer. Yeah. And I want to ask God to help you to single out some people that he wants you to move toward. You're not going to be on the deep relationship right away, right? But if we don't do something deliberate to develop those friendships, where we do have somebody, not that we know, that's part of it, but somebody that really knows us, so that we really have a safe place to learn and grow in relationship, we're really missing something. But we need to be deliberate. So can we pray? Father, we thank you for your example, not just to being the Lord of all, but of friendship that always began with you making the first move, follow me. And Lord, I ask right now that you would put people in our mind's eye right now. It may be somebody we don't even know, but most likely it's somebody that we kind of know or need to get to know. And help us as we take this step toward these people that there will be response. Lord, we need friendship. We need to connect with people in our lives in a way that you can live your love in us and through us. I praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
So did you get a treat tonight or today? I told you. What an opportunity. I hope you're getting a sense for the momentum that's building in this community. And as we reflect on love together, how it's going to deepen and move us into deeper and deeper places. And if nothing else, then that causes us to respond in gratitude and love. Not just to the God who draws us into his life, but then who shares and gives himself to us through one another. So as a community, as we close today, I want to invite us to stand and open ourselves up in response by praying together what we pray together every time, but we're reminded this morning of what God has done for us that we couldn't do for ourselves, and that God has called you and I friend, and that is God's love poured out for us. So together, let's pray this. Lord Jesus, I invite you into my life. I believe that you died on the cross for my sin and rose from the grave 3 days later. I receive forgiveness for every failure and sin in my life, and I give to you the right to direct my life from this day forward. I dedicate myself to learning the scripture, living in fellowship with God's people, following you in water baptism. In Jesus' name I pray and trust. Amen. Amen. So that prayer is predicated on the idea that God has taken a step towards you and I. And now we get to step and move towards him in friendship. And I want you to know, as Tom and I were reflecting on this, what a gift that was, a message. That there's a sensitivity that God is calling you into friendship with him. All of us. And if this is the first time you've heard that and you've prayed this prayer with us, then we want you to know that we want to invite you to come forward. We want to pray with you. If there's any kind of friendship or burden on your heart that we can bear with you and one another in friendship, we want to do that. Is that fair?
Yeah. Good. I just want to say.
Can you mic him up?
I just want to say that maybe you feel like you're on this journey by yourself, but you don't know what to do about journeying with someone else. Come up here and let's talk about it, and let's get plugged in, let's connect. Okay, I don't want you on the journey by yourself, and neither does God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
so receive this blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and always, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to this North Rock resource. To find out more information about North Rock Church, check us out at www.northrockchurch.com.